This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillo, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. That is how you join the show here. We'll get back to everyone's phone calls here on Zach Vaughn. Do the Eagles need him? Is it imperative they bring him back to have a great defense next year? I believe it is. Hugh doesn't. And I think the Eagles would be in a world of trouble defensively to try to win a Super Bowl without Zach Vaughn next season. Where do you come down? Ears. Are they part of your face? I didn't know that was going to be part of the show today, but here we are. And the what do you call it? The Vaseline Chronicles?
Vaseline Chronicles.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why, but that's we got here today. A lot
and
to discuss.
Slather Vaseline on me. Slathering.
Yeah, and I'm not sure at some point if we have to. I don't know what we're going to do with the camera, but the fact that we had to spend time today discussing that the shrimp was heated up, brought into the studio, it seems a little better now. Has it dissipated the smell?
Well, you know, I overspray with my oils and whatnot, so I smelled it when I first got into it.
Yeah.
But then I start smelling myself. I know that sounds weird, but I kind of smell myself.
Okay, I'm just not sure if I'm used to it by now, because if you're in a room that smells weird for three hours...
If it stinks, you get used to the stink.
Yeah, I might be used to it now, which is a sad place to be, but we walked in here today and it smelled terrible, and we found out, John Ritchie ratted him out instantly, that Joe heated up some shrimp this morning, so shrimp for breakfast.
He does that again. We're declaring war on the morning show.
Oh, absolutely, and it will be, and we will attack.
Stop.
Yeah, it will be a problem. All right, 215-592-9494. Outside of just the workouts and all the stuff going on at the combine this week, this is also a chance for the NFL to settle some things, to talk about rule changes potentially. And Hugh, we got an update yesterday on the tush push situation, because a lot of the conversation has been, hey, if there is a big injury risk, then maybe the NFL would have to look at it. So Hugh, the report came out yesterday, the official report on how many injuries were actually there in the NFL last year, the internal data on injuries last season from the tush push. You ready for this?
Yeah.
Here's the percentage. This is according to Jonathan Jones from CBS. The league's internal data on the tush push revealed there was a 0% injury rate on what is known as the tush push. There is concern over the potential for injury, but to date, there have been no reported injuries from the play. So if the argument you've heard is, well, it's a dangerous play, it has zero merit. No one has reported an injury from the tush push. Not one.
Let Coach McDermott tell it.
Well, I don't know what data that Sean McDermott's using, but it stinks because it's not accurate. I can see how you look at the play and say, that looks uncomfortable. But there aren't all football plays
uncomfortable?
Yeah.
Yes, they are.
Like,
yes, they are.
They all look like they hurt.
Yes, they are. I just think the irony for that one is this. The fact that he sat there with a straight face.
Mm-hmm.
And talked about how dangerous the play was. But yet, still, they ran it like 13 times this year.
Well, he didn't obviously care about his own players.
Yeah, that's the crazy part about it. Just because you don't like something, you couldn't stop it. And then, on top of that, I think you're more upset is because you got stopped trying to use it. You know, so, yeah.
All right, the other thing coming out, two more quick things. Potential rule changes, and then, I don't even know what you call the second one. I guess technology change? The rule change is, Hugh, they're considering now moving up the touchback from the 30-yard line to the 35-yard line.
So you mean...
five more yards for a touchback. Like, the offense would be 5 yards up. Now, this has been... remember, they changed the kickoff, and they wanted to increase the amount of time someone would kick it off and actually return it?
Yeah.
I'm wondering if this is in response to scoring being down last year. I wonder if they're trying
Probably.
Because, you know... TV products, fantasy betting, they want more touchdowns, right? They want more scoring.
Yeah, they cried about scoring at the beginning of the year.
Yeah. So now if a touchback puts you on the 35, you really don't need much to get in field goal range. I mean, what are we talking about? 3 first downs?
Yeah. They're trying to up the scoring. Because it was down last year. You remember we talked about that. It was down last year.
That's
at the beginning.
That's my thought. I mean, if you can get to the 35 to start your drive,
you got money.
And you have a halfway decent offense, you should score in the upper 20s. Like, because last year scoring went down to, like, it felt like the low 20s, teens a lot. So I think that's what that's about. And the last thing I saw was, it sounds like we're moving towards the technology now, deciding first downs rather than the old school chain gang.
More robot takeover, Joe.
Oh, not the chain gang. They're getting rid of the chain gang?
Well, they'll be there as a backup, apparently.
Okay.
But, I mean, what are they backing up? I mean, the robot's going to settle in.
Yeah.
I just feel like we're losing something that is fun. Like, think about, like, the drama of watching a game.
I agree. I love it.
The Bills and Chiefs last year, right? It's the close game. They're coming out. They spot the ball. They come out with the chain, and you wait to see where's the measurement. If they just, like, oh, yeah, the data told me he got over it. It's like, all right, I guess he got over it. Like, we'll get used to it, but there's something fun about the drama. I feel like every time we do this, we lose a little bit of drama in sports.
Remember the index card?
That's what I was about. You beat me to it, Kyle. That was the one thing that I remember was when Buddy came out there with the index card and slid it. There we go. I'm like, dude, for real? Dramatics.
I think we got a slippery slope when you keep taking the drama out of us. We like the drama. At least I do as a sports fan. All right, 215-592-9494. Twitter question sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing others see when they meet. You learn about and schedule your evaluation at PIDentalCenter.com. Well, I got a couple polls I'm looking through here. Let's start with the most important one. Could the Eagles survive next season without re-signing Zach Bond? 53% at yes. Excuse me?
Because you know what it is? Those are the logical listeners.
Coping.
Those are not the passionate listeners. We appreciate both, but it's you look at it and you look at the way that the Eagles do business, and that's why I've come to this conclusion. I would love to have him here. Don't get it twisted. Would love to have him.
We've already twisted it a few times.
Yeah, we did, but that's what we do. But I think that the way that they see it is he's expendable. He's one of the expendables.
First team all pro.
No doubt.
What are we? First team all pro.
I'm just telling you how they're thinking.
Oh, they're delusional, in my opinion.
I mean, and we've established that. We've established that all day.
our other poll today: are your ears a part of your face? 55% no on this one.
Mm. But that's still a close poll.
Yeah, that is
close.
Way closer than I expected.
A lot of people are with you on this.
Yeah.
I'm shocked.
So, I was expecting a 90-10 no.
I don't know, man, because so is that to say that most people don't wash their ears?
No, I think in the shower you wash your ears. But if I were to just go in the bathroom here at work, right, and I feel flush or hot or something, I just want to, like, throw some cold water on my face. I'm not purposely putting cold water on my ears.
I would. I would do this, and then I would put water in my ears.
It's that second step that I'm not doing.
Yeah, I'm the second step guy. I'm not going to lie. And like I said, maybe it's because I'm traumatized from the fact that, you know, I had to wear a ton of grease every day when I was younger, but that's just
maybe
this
that's
is how
part
I roll.
Of this. You had to wash your ears more frequently because you were lathered up with Vaseline.
Pops didn't play that.
Slather
Vaseline on me. Slather it all over you.
You so captioned his photo, the Vaseline Chronicles, if you're wondering what's going on in here today.
Yeah, I got that from somebody else, but yeah, that's basically what it is, the Vaseline Chronicles. That's what it was. Growing up, that's what I had to deal with.
Hugh's life story, chapter 2, the Vaseline Chronicles.
So just real quick on
yeah, that was Chanel that did that. Shout out to Chanel for listening. She did that.
The Zach Bond thing, and I get everyone loves Vic Fangio. I love Vic Fangio. I think he's a genius. He's did a phenomenal job with the defense last season. I just think sometimes we go too far with the, like, we do this with Jeff Stoutland too. We have Jeff Stoutland. We can put in any, but like Jeff Stoutland, remember 2020 when we had all these different machinations of the offensive line.
And who's the
Jamone
guy?
Brown.
Was he the one that tried to sneak someone in his hotel? Or he's the one that...
I don't remember. I do remember someone, swapping jerseys with Lamar
because
Jackson.
Because it was COVID. Someone got in trouble for trying to sneak someone in their room. And they
were
in
a woman?
Oh, I don't know. Whatever. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I'm assuming it had to be a woman.
I guess the point is, even Jeff Stoutland needs talented players. The best coaches in the league need talent to succeed. Vic Fangio needs talent to succeed. Zach Bond is one of those talented players. Granted, Vic saw something in him. But when you have an all-pro player on defense, I don't think it's good business to let that guy go just because, well, we have this coach. He can make anybody. Like, I don't think that's the case.
I think that is exactly the case, because who knew that Zach Bond was all-pro talent? The Saints damn sure didn't know. Because if they did, they wouldn't have let him go. I think they found the diamond in the rough, and he's played well, but I also think, see, this is the thing, Kyle, and again, not taking anything away from what Zach Bond was able to accomplish. He played above and beyond what they expected from him. But again, he also benefited from the guys that he played with.
I think I agree with that, but why not just keep him and roll it back?
And I hear what you're saying, yeah. And I don't have a problem with that, but What I'm saying is that the Eagles feel like him as an individual is a replaceable piece because of all the pieces around
him.
I
get it, but I think they're on a slippery slope there because
I get that. Definitely,
and they've shown they can swing and hit like they did on Bond, and they can also miss.
Yeah. Isn't it also possible that the other guys on defense also thrive because of that because of what Zach Bond has to defense?
I will say this. When you talk about evaluators of talent, there's more young, higher drafted talent around him that, you know, you could make the argument that, well, you know, he did play with Quinyon Mitchell. He did play with Cooper DeJean. He did play with Keely Ringo. He had all those.
Or they played
Slade.
With him.
But listen to what I'm saying. I hear what you're saying. Okay, well, let me make it as simple as I can. What round was Zach Bond drafted in?
Was he third, maybe?
I think third.
Third
or fourth,
round
yeah.
draft pick. What round was Darius Slay drafted in? First rounder, right?
No, I think Slay was third.
Third rounder?
I don't think he was a first.
Okay, well, I go with the ones that were. Second rounder in Cooper DeJean, and a first rounder in Quinyon Mitchell, a first rounder in Jordan Davis, a first rounder in Jalen Carter.
Second for Slay. So Slay was around the area that Cooper was.
Yeah, but I'm saying all of the guys that are around him were more talented or projected as more talented than him. That's the point I'm trying to make.
But again, as we see all the time, like just because of where you're drafted doesn't mean that's who you are in the NFL. We know now that Zach Bond is an all-pro caliber player.
Well, the same thing, we go back to Slay. Slay should have been a first-round pick in that draft.
Right.
He's probably one of the, 10 or 15 best players from his whole draft.
Yeah. And like you just said it, like you called him a diamond in the rough. Now we're just good without the diamond and going back to the rough?
I'm not saying that he's not a good player. What I'm saying is this, and I've been saying it all day. Is that if we move on from Zach Bond, that I think the Eagles will survive. And I think that they will get somebody else that will come in and be just as good or maybe even better than Zach Bond.
But Fangio's history tells us that's not always the case. This was the best defense he's ever coached.
But Fangio bucked history this year by coaching a group that he only had for 6 months and took them from worst to first.
But I guess my point is, this is the most talented group Fangio's had.
This is the best coaching staff that I've seen on any team in a long time.
Well, but a big part of the team this year was Bond, right? Like, it's like chicken or the egg. Like, did Fangio have his best year or was Bond a huge part of it?
Okay. I put it like this. When I think Zach Bond made some really good plays, right?
Yes.
Zach Bond, and I'm going to say it in a way, and I'm going to try to get y'all to understand it, but you might not by the way that I'm going to say it. Zach Bond didn't make any Ray Lewis-like plays. Huh? I'm talking about
some of those peanut punches in the playoffs.
No. Zach Bond.
Well, it's not Ray Lewis. I mean, I don't think anyone.
No,
thinks
but
Ray
what
Lewis.
I'm trying to say is that's the type of talent that, like, Zach Bond played well. And I'm gonna get butchered for this.
First nobody's, team all.
He played more than well. This is like when you say the defense.
Nobody's gonna understand what I'm saying, but that's okay.
Great.
Zach Bond played well. He played okay. To your point, he played great.
There we go.
But he also had a lot of talent. Like Ray Lewis, I remember games where Ray Lewis took Eddie George's soul. Like Ray Lewis would destroy run plays.
But Ray had Siragusa. He had Ed Reed behind him.
But Ray Lewis was also a phenomenal talent. What I'm saying is, Zach Bond, like I've been saying all day, benefited from having those guys around him, and he's a smart guy. He played well, but the Eagles, I feel, are willing to move on from that because they feel they have somebody in the pipeline.
Let me ask you this. What would the Eagles' defense look like last year with all that talent and no Zach Bond?
They would have been lesser. I mean,
Way lesser.
If Zach Bond was here and we had the same defensive coordinator that we had, he wouldn't have shined like this. He wouldn't.
No, I'm saying everything's the same, but Bond's not here.
They wouldn't have been last year. They wouldn't have been as good. I mean, they wouldn't have been. I don't know how far they would have fallen or where they were ranked, but I know they wouldn't have been as good. By the way, I did find the Jamon Brown story. So it didn't detail why, but I think we could read between the lines. This was the COVID year, Hugh, 2020. Mm-hmm. So I found an old report. This is from D. Gunn. According to sources close to the team on Saturday, Eagles head of security Dom DeSandro kicked offensive line Jamon Brown out of the team hotel and sent him home for conduct detrimental to the team. And then the next day, he was no longer on the team. If I remember the story correct, I think because it was COVID, right? That you couldn't. A lot of restrictions. I think he brought someone in to his hotel room.
Okay, he brought. Okay, and you put the whole team at risk.
Right, because if you get sick.
Yeah. And that was early. I'm assuming it was early in the days of COVID. We didn't know, we know. Yeah.
Also, he stunk, which I think that made it easier for him to move on.
Yeah, that made it easier.
Yes, but to Kyle's point, you need some talent, and Jamon Brown was talent.
I just remember swapping jerseys with Lamar Jackson after we got crunched by the Ravens, and the O-line probably had the worst day that they had all year.
Yeah, that might.
And that was a Stoutland O-line, by the way.
Yeah, well, that was a rare bad Eagles O-line. They couldn't block anyone. George is in Upper Darby. Hey, George.
Yo, how you doing?
Hey, George, what's up?
Listen, I'm listening to you, Douglas, and I'm getting trouble listening to what he's making excuses about Eagles not signing.
Tell him, George.
Ball.
You tell him.
You know what, George?
I don't want to hear that. What are you? Don't toe that line, you.
George.
Let me tell you something. Wait. Let me ask you a question. I heard the argument about, well, Jalen Carter, he's the guy in the middle. He makes everything go around this line and defense. Yeah, you're right about that. Jalen Carter, he is a good defensive tackle. He's going to be the best in the NFL. I can see that now.
George OG.
But let me tell you something.
Yes, sir.
Zach Bond, not only can he tackle, he's step on step with the wideouts. He's on top of them.
Yes, sir.
They go out. He's right there. That's not coaching. That's called talent.
Yeah.
Woo!
So, excuse me.
George brought it.
Yeah, you know, and I got respect for my OGs. But all due respect, George, I'm not toeing a line. I was asked a question, and I was giving my honest opinion. Now, sir, I know we don't agree, but the point that I was making was that the Eagles feel like he's expendable at this point. Now I'm not.
No, he's not. And I know Howie isn't going to make any knucklehead moves. I know how he's going to sign that boy because that guy should be around. He's part of the Super Bowl team. He's a piece of that puzzle.
Well, he is. George, he was a huge part of the puzzle. Here is what I'll say to all of us.
Kind of lost me with the boy.
Yeah, well, he's a guy. He's a man. He's a grown-up.
Grown-ass man.
He is. And he's a first-team all-pro player. You know, I think that...
I don't like arguing with my elders either, though.
Well, I think
he came in hot, too.
He came in super
You know
hot.
What? You stepped in something I don't think you realize you stepped in. This is a city that loves linebackers and hasn't had a linebacker that could play in a while. And then you're just willing, in part because the whole 53 thing, you're willing to let a great linebacker walk out the door.
It don't help when you do stuff like that either, though. That don't help. Because I sit here and we have these meetings and I try to be logical about what I'm saying. And then you and Mr. Kyle Quinn over there. Yeah. Y'all take it and you make it personal.
Well, you know why? Because I have to address elephants in the room. Because I know the people in the audience are like, wait a second. Why would you say this?
No matter whatever else I say during the day, that's all people hear is you. Well, Hugh doesn't like because he wears number 53. No.
No, you called out of that correctly. One of my favorite tactics is weaponizing the fan base against you.
You do it every day. And then you got George calling in, that's yelling and screaming at me.
Well, I just need to even the score, because I think when the show opens, people intrinsically want to agree with you over me.
Yeah.
They cheered for you. They have your jersey. I need to even it out by just being like, well, hold on. What if he was saying this? Now do you really agree with this guy? Do you believe him?
You know what the worst part about it is? You'll sit there in the meeting, and I'll say something. The wheels are probably turning as the meeting goes, that's fine. We'll go with that. Okay, fine. Let's do that.
Well, that's at 9.
Just the art of war.
9 o'clock me is different than 10 o'clock me and different than 1 o'clock me. These are different me's.
I hate you guys. Yeah, you know that?
Coffee hasn't
every
quite
day,
coursing through your veins.
Every day I got to fight to be in this chair.
I do think part of this, and it really hasn't come up much today, I do think deep down, how many years has there been no good linebacker here? And now it's like, it's a slap in the face. Like, wait a second, we finally got one, and now we're going to let him walk away? Like, don't you dare, Howie. Don't you, even if you have to overpay, we can't go back to the old days.
Like the run the ball people. When you say we got to peel back on Saquon's touches, people are like, that doesn't compute to
right,
me.
Even if, run even, the ball. Right, even if Hugh's bringing some logic here, we don't want to hear it.
I am starting to learn, especially these last couple of days, Eagle fans, like, I just have to learn. It don't matter if it makes sense. Damn it! This is what we're gonna do. We're Eagles fans. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm learning, but I'm just like, yo. Wow.
So there's also another element. This is your first time experiencing on the air here. I remember this after the last Super Bowl. There's a peacocking that goes on in the whole
fan
base.
I know that
for like 6 months, like to where that we have to do it this way. Dynasty, like no one will hear anything
that you're saying.
Last time I remember the dynasty talk, and I can recall one day saying, like, hold on a second. Wentz is coming off a major injury. How do we know he's going to be the same? And people,
don't know what you're talking about, Joe.
You would have thought I cursed on the air what I was saying with that
that's
stuff.
Strong.
Yeah, well, I mean, people are strong, and they want to continue winning football games here, which that's the whole goal. All right, let's go to, we got Dan in the Lehigh Valley. Hey, Dan.
Hey, what's going on? Thanks for taking
what's
my call.
Going on,
hey, Dan, what's up?
Okay, so first thing, I think the ears are a part of the face, okay?
Okay.
I do. I'm with you. I'm pretty much with you all day today.
See, that's your problem right there.
Ears are a part of the face. I think, like, when you kind of describe a woman's face or something like that, and the ears can come up. I also think that if you're giving the, you know, like a cop, details on a sketch or something like that, ears could be one thing that they ask about to come up with a sketch for a face, you know, something like that.
Hold on, just 1 second.
Ears matter.
I need to ask this question. Have you ever described a woman here? Like, if I asked you to describe a woman to me,
yes,
you've used the ear
description? Some pretty ears. Like, yeah, I have. Like, some people.
I mean,
Yeah, pretty face, pretty facial expressions, yeah.
Yeah, but like when you're asked to describe a woman, there's
the way she smell, her hair.
Hair, eyes, you could probably list 5 or 6 things.
You would notice if a woman got some big old ears, though, Dumbo.
Well, sure.
You're going to notice that.
I just like Kyle.
She'd
if I asked
you,
know,
be like, she cute,
if
she
I
got
asked you to describe a
ears.
Woman, would you tell me about her ears?
No, Dan brought this up on the phone. I thought it was the craziest thing I've ever heard.
I've never
once commented on a woman's ears as a whether she's attractive or not.
But you've commented on her feet?
No, I haven't.
Seriously?
Yeah.
You've never looked at a beautiful woman and then she's been dragging her feet and kicking like cement or something. You're like, oh, she got some ugly feet. You ain't never seen that?
What'd
you never
say?
Did that? She's been kicking rocks or kicking like boulders with her feet.
Were you trying to say cement?
Cement. What did I say?
Not that.
Did I say something bad?
Not
dump worthy, but it was.
Oh, yeah.
It
but no,
there.
It's like they've
it
been
startling.
You're revealing a lot about yourself today.
No, I am not. I'm telling you, I am not the only person. I am not the only guy on this planet that looks at a woman's feet. I am not.
No,
y'all are not going to convince me.
But no, like, I think, but the ears?
Feet are a deal breaker.
If you ask me, what do you think of this woman? And I might comment on a few things before I
not
even.
Not the ears, man.
You might
not
the
ears.
The ears. Some pretty little ears on them.
Pretty
what?
Hold on. But
it's some people out there got ear fetishes, and I'm not one of them.
Yeah, well, all right.
Hold
but you just described it as a fetish, so it's not like a common.
I realize I say this as someone without hair. Aren't the ears on a woman a lot of times covered by their hair?
Sometimes women had their hair pulled back, and you see them
they
little
do.
Ears.
But like if their hair is down, you might not even see their ears.
I'll give you that one.
I won't go into full detail, but if I'm describing a woman that I think is attractive, ears are not even top 5 things that I rattle off of her features before I go.
I would say, top seven. I don't know if it's top ten.
I would say feet are in the top five.
Dude, no.
Feet top five.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, you are.
Feet. Eyes.
We
could keep it appropriate with two things off the bat. Eyes and smile before I'm looking down at the feet.
No, I see the teeth. Teeth are number one.
Eyes, smile.
And teeth are number one?
The face. Yeah, teeth. You look like a woman's teeth.
Okay, well,
didn't
they're
you hear
up there,
this whole
sure.
thing about a rake and all that the
they
other day?
They can't be bad teeth. You know?
Yeah. You can't have no rake in your mouth.
Let's take a time. Dan, go ahead, man. Dan,
my bad, Dan. We went off on a tangent.
There's just no way I agree with you.
Maybe it's a bit of an old school kind of thing, kind of take or whatever. But, yeah, that was one thing. And
old
then
weird,
for Bond and Miles Garrett, I think it's a win-win. I think the team can't go wrong in any direction. And I think that because we have Howie and because we have Vic and because our whole office is just top-notch people and we know how to get guys, you know? And so I think whatever decision we make is going to be the right one.
Well, I hope. I mean, Dan, they certainly have a track record in the draft recently. Dan, we appreciate of hitting a lot of picks, but they've also swung and missed at linebacker a lot. I mean, they have.
Swing and a miss.
I mean, let's just go back to 2 years ago. Let's go back to some of the draft picks. Who was the guy they drafted around the COVID time? He's from Colorado. He was small and fast.
Davion Taylor.
Yeah, he stunk too. I mean, like they've had a lot of these.
He didn't even play in high school, right? Yeah. There was something weird with him.
Yeah, that was a mistake. But linebacker has been a spot where they've struggled. They have a great one now. Played great. Just keep him. 215-592-9494. All right, your phone calls on Zach Bond and ears. It's a big debate today, buddy. We even just went off to a different ear debate that I didn't know existed. Plus, A.J. Brown with a couple interesting pieces of audio we need to get to as the podcast tour continues right here on the Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Zilla, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. Really honing in on the important debates today. Zach Bond. Is it imperative he's back, and is it crucial to the next year's Eagles team? I say yes, Hugh says no, and of course, a raging debate about ears today. Are they part of your face? And then we got to more ear stuff I wasn't ready for, but the bottom line is, Hugh believes ears are part of your face. I didn't think about that once in my entire life until today.
And I look at feet when it comes to...
To women.
Yeah, I look at feet.
And I
don't think I'm the only guy that does that.
I don't think feet, you're the only one. Ears, though... I never thought about that.
I stretched it a little bit with the ears, though. I did that.
Again, because they're covered by hair.
Yeah.
All right, well, you know what we're all looking at, watching, whatever, however you consume it? The A.J. Brown podcast tour. He's been everywhere. Where was this one again? Was this the one he did with
Gilly? $1 million worth of games.
Okay, so let's go back to that. A couple of things that slipped through the cracks, but it started to kind of emerge here. Let's hit this one first, because we've been talking about a lot the Eagles offseason, what they're going to do, and potentially how they're going to replace a Josh Sweat, a Milton Williams. What pass rush are they important here? We've spent a lot of time arguing about Miles Garrett, who would cost a lot in draft capital.
A ton of bread.
Future contract, but also the idea that he's older, a little bit older, right? He's been in the league longer than some other guys. Well, how about another big name that could potentially be out there, and he's younger. And maybe he also wants to be an Eagle. Here's A.J. Brown and a name we know pretty well.
I think Michael want to be an Eagle.
He do. He want to be Eagle bad.
He love Philly.
He on the phone with Slay and all that. And I didn't mean like, I'm going to keep it real. I ain't like that. Slay, don't be talking to them Dallas Cowboys during the season.
Gilly, man. I love that. Gilly, wow.
Micah wants to be an Eagle.
No, I think everybody thinks that. I mean, as much as he's here, as much as he's talking about the Eagles and everything, I wouldn't be surprised if he did want to be an Eagle.
So I think we all felt that, like he really wishes he was here for a while now. It is something to me, though, when current Eagles players are feeling that. First of all, that's got to make a Cowboys fan just more miserable than they already have to be, because their best player wants to be on on our team. But the other thing is, I mean, my eyebrows are raised. I mean, you guys know I want Parsons here. I've wanted him for years. Kyle gets mad at me every time I say it, and that's fine. I mean,
pay him, too.
I know. But he's younger, and he's probably still got 6 years left of high-level play, not maybe one or two.
There's one pretty massive problem with with Micah Parsons.
Go ahead.
And we just talked about this Podcast P. This guy oozes loser. Parsons is a massive loser.
Boy, he's a great football player. Great player.
Don't care. You know I'm a star hunter. You know that about me, right? I don't care how good Micah Parsons is. I wouldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole.
Okay. Can I spin this to the guy that was brought up in that conversation we just played? Couldn't I make the case that before he got here, Slay was a career loser. I mean, he's a good player, but he was
Slay does have loser vibes still.
But he's been
still, wait a minute, still?
He's been in two Super Bowls and one still, one with the
still,
Eagles.
No, not still.
I think if you incorporate someone with loser feel into a room of winners, they can become a winner.
Or you they can assimilate. Infect the whole bunch. Like, so like, I think another good example of a guy that came from a team that lost all the time, Saquon with the Giants. Yeah. But Saquon had winner vibes coming in. I mean, he was a leader type guy. He was the leader on the Giants.
I agree.
Parsons, I almost feel like, in a way, drags the Cowboys down to the depths of loserdom.
He's their best player.
Awesome. Crazy. But the mentality that he brings to one, the field, and two, off the field, this man literally sat up there in front of everybody and said, if you take away the scoreboard, we played the Eagles really well. Dude, you got your ass kicked.
Hold on. Yeah. I never said he was bright. I said he's a great football player.
No, but he's a loser. And I don't want that. Like, look.
He's a goofball.
Well, but hold on. Because I go back to, like, these things are volatile, right? We go back to 2023, just a year or so ago. We were wondering who the cancer in the locker room was. It brought down everybody. Josh Sweat talking about selfish players on the defensive line. We probably know who that was. By this point,
yeah,
right?
It's probably Reddick.
Reddick.
Yeah.
Like, that can infect the entire bunch of apples, man.
I hear you. I'm just saying, if he ended up here, I'd be excited.
This is one of those things where
I'd be so excited.
We're going to have this discussion, and I will bring a lot less logic than I brought to any discussion before in my life. I just can't stand Micah Parsons.
I know. He's my football Juan Soto. Like, I just want him. I want to watch him play in this uniform instead of watching him play.
He's my football Pete Alonso.
Well, he's way better than Pete Alonso. Pete's chunky. Barely got a contract. All right. One more thing from A.J. Brown here with Gilly. And this was interesting because he got very, I'll use the word Hugh says, he got comfortable in this conversation.
Real comfortable.
And then he realized he had to pull back. So the backdrop is Quez Watkins came up. I guess there was some stuff with Gilly and Quez Watkins when Quez was here.
Mm-hmm.
But just listen to how AJ talks about Jalen from a receiver's perspective. And then he kind of says, maybe I should pull this back a little bit. Here's the conversation on the podcast.
Quez don't get the ball all game. And the only time he get the ball, when the game is on the line, man, like, that's a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
He just running all day. And whenever Jay decides to throw him the ball, the game is always on the line. It's always the deciding play. So I feel for
that was a Tampa Bay game?
I feel for Quest. Stop it. I feel for
that was
him.
A Tampa Bay game?
I really do feel for him, bro.
The game you snapped?
Like, give him a touch early or something. Like, that's when When players, like, they just need to feel the ball, like, that's a real thing. That's a real thing. Like, he's still locked in the game. Like, imagine you just running up and down the field all day, and you're not involved. And now, the biggest play of the game, you running vertical, and Jalen lost the ball. Come on, man. That's tough, ain't it?
That's tough.
And then it keeps happening. Like, a lot of the drops he had, the game was on the line. Like, I ain't going to say that.
But that's your job.
I thought the same thing. You're like, a wide receiver.
Like real talk. Like every job, every position in the NFL is like that. And especially when you talk about playing defensive end. You got to rush the passer. Like a lot of times, especially when I played, ball was going quick. And the coach always tells you, you got to keep going, man, because one time he's going to hold on to the ball. And if I'm not mistaken, that was the first sack that I got because I'm rushing and I'm being blocked by the lineman. I don't see that I actually got the sack until after. And I was like, oh, snap, I got a sack because I was so locked into trying to beat the guy. It just so happened that, you know, I got the sack. That's your job, though, man. I understand that it's tough, but that's why you get paid the money that you get paid.
And it also felt like the backdrop really was Jalen isn't throwing him the ball sooner in the game. Like almost he's blaming the quarterback for a receiver's
for his lull.
Yes. And then he went on to kind of laughingly but say, like, that's what I try to tell Jalen. Like as if like
throw me the ball early, get me involved.
Yes. He doesn't want to say it with his chest, but he's dancing around like this is the issue sometimes with Jalen that he doesn't get us involved and then we gotta get involved later.
And that's cool. I understand that, and that's him being truthful. But that is your job, and you have to be prepared for everything. It's like that's how the NFL is like it is, because you have to sell. Every time you're out there, Regardless if you're getting the ball or not, you have to act like you are. That's the NFL in a nutshell.
You know what you said triggered in me, Hugh?
What's that?
What if throughout an entire baseball game, Trey Turner is lonely over at shortstop and the ball's not going to him at all, and then all of a sudden in the ninth inning, he bungles a routine play, and after the game, he's like, well, you know what? Like, I was just cold. Like, the ball wasn't getting hit to me all game.
You know what's funny? You know what's funny? You just made me think of something. I asked J-Roll this years ago when we was talking about baseball. He said, man, you got to figure out how to stay locked in. He said, because that's how baseball is. He said, you could be sitting out there for a whole inning and nothing happened, but you got to figure out how to stay locked in. We were talking about greenies back in the day, and we were talking about how it's tough to get up for every game and stay locked in and stay focused. And he talked about that. And he talked about the little nuances of playing shortstop and the little signs and stuff and being locked into the game. He said that's the biggest part, because at that point, Hugh was playing baseball, and I was telling him about how Hugh's in outfield, and he's out there looking at the grass, picking flowers or whatever. Yeah. It's hard to get locked in.
Well, especially for a kid.
Yeah. Castellanos told us that.
Yeah, so it's your job, but that's your job. That's why you're getting paid the money that you're getting paid.
Castellanos did say that. He's a $20 million a year outfielder. Yeah. He did.
Castellanos.
But again, no one wants to hear it. And also, if Jalen puts a ball in the money, you catch it. Like, I'm not blaming Jalen. They didn't get you the ball early. It's just, it was more, it's not, I mean, Quez is gone. Who cares about Quez? But it was more of a picture into the AJ stuff, which is just, as he reveals more on these podcast tours, it's certainly interesting. Let's go to Lance, who's up on WIP. Hey, Lance.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Lance, what's up, buddy?
How y'all doing, man? How y'all been? You, how you been, man?
How you doing?
What's up, Joe?
What's up? What are you thinking?
Man, I got a lot on my mind today, man. I got a lot to listen to everything you guys been saying. But listen, I'm gonna start with this. A couple points. First off, I don't know if anybody picked up on it, but the other day when he was talking about the Sharks,
yeah,
my man Hugh said everybody was coming down on him. He said, "I need some bacon."
Yeah, you heard that out of that. Hey, you know, hey Lance, you know what I did? I went home. And I did two things. I told Joe about the first thing I did, but I did give me some bacon yesterday.
Would you try shark bacon?
Nah.
Yeah, sure.
Nah, sharks pee through their skin, dog.
We did learn that the other day. Yeah,
I heard that on the commercial. I was like, yeah, that's disgusting. I would never eat sharks. But, okay, the other thing is, the girls' locker room, right? You don't know what I mean by that, but let me tell you this. I worked at, I sell cars. So, and if you want to call it white collar, a lot of things they don't go for. And the shrimp inside of the showroom is definitely a no-no. I didn't know that. To my very first dealership, I'm over here. I go get some shrimp.
Sounds like you made that mistake.
Butter in the bag. Yeah, I pop some butter in the bag. Pop it in the microwave. 2 minutes. Boom. Next thing you know, everybody says the whole place smells like a girl's locker room. So I would never do that again. You know what I mean?
Oh wow.
Another thing. You gotta stop giving up cake, man. Listen, people don't know about the Vaseline trick. Listen, my wife is 38, man. People don't. And I'm sorry, guys. It's another thing with the whole. Where I worked at, a lot of people don't know. Like, I work with a lot of, white guys, and I put Vaseline on in the middle of the day. They look at me like I'm crazy. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, that's understood.
For the rest of the day.
can't be ashy, man. That's like the worst.
No, do you still do the Vaseline here?
Yes. Well, no, I don't do the Vaseline. I do cocoa butter now.
Okay, all
right. I do the cocoa butter.
Cocoa butter, shea butter.
All the butters.
So do your coworkers, like, wonder why you're so shiny sometimes, Lance? Because that's what Hugh said. He was shiny.
Too much. No, you can't use too much. Just a little bit.
Okay.
Just a little bit.
Yeah.
You should have seen my wife's face. First time I ever put it on. She was like, what are you doing with Vaseline? Like, she really looked puzzled. She's Puerto Rican. So it's white people, Puerto Ricans. I'm pretty sure it's other nationalities that don't know about the whole Vaseline.
Yeah, Lance.
No idea.
The whole thing of getting out the shower and not putting no lotion on to me is foreign. I got the grease up before I put some clothes on. I got the grease up. Got the grease up.
I've never even thought about lotion.
And you know what? The thing that I do every morning before I come in, because I don't wear socks, make sure I get them ankles. Gotta grease them ankles,
gotta
man.
Get the ankles.
Because
gotta
that's the word. Like, I remember, like, Lance, and I don't know if you were part of this, but you used to be in the store and you'd be greasy. You would be ashy, and your mom would lick her finger. and get the ash off of you. Or you ash your ankles and you lick your finger and you do the ash. You don't want the ash ankles?
Yeah.
As I talk, my ankles look a little. No, they ain't ash. They look all right today.
You all right today?
Yeah, I'm all right today.
Okay.
But you got to look. You can't have ashy ankles,
is it
man.
Certain weather that makes you more like this? Like, is it humidity? Is it winter, summer?
Cold weather makes you super ashy.
Okay.
But in the summertime, you got to be glistening. you got to glisten.
We need a Hugh glistenometer over here when it comes in each morning.
Lather Vaseline on me. Now, Lance, you about to be a part of it. Y'all got me thinking. Now, I remember when Brian Dawkins renewed his vows. We were somewhere in Florida. I can't remember where. But I remember, because I like to grease up. But it was hot. So I put on a bunch of lotion, right? So I had on a linen suit.
Oh, no.
Bruh. I got on the elevator. By the time I got off that elevator with that linen suit on, I was drenched. They was like, damn, dog, what you do, run a mile before you came?
It was like when we walked to the convention center in New Orleans and you were drenched.
The worst thing about putting on a whole bunch of lotion in the summertime is when it's like you put it on a cool room and when you walk outside and the lotion comes up out of your skin because it's so hot, that was me. That was me. And I was dripping. I was dripping wet.
That's a lot. Lance,
I got you. I'm
going to
get to the linebacker, but when the sweat bubbles up on the Vaseline,
ooh, you're the bad spot.
That sounds rough.
You're the bad spot.
Listen. Oh, don't use that drop. No. Listen, my last thing I'm going to say real quick, gotta have pretty feet, man. That is in my top three. If you don't have pretty feet, it is a deal breaker.
Top three?
Yeah, you got. You can't have no
top control, man.
You can't have no bad wheels, man. You can't have no bad wheels.
My wife knows. I love feet. I love feet. When I married her, I said, babe, don't be mad. It's summertime. Feet is out. She got pretty feet. Most men looks at the butt. And all this other, you got pretty feet. Pretty teeth, pretty face. And the ears is not part of the face because the girl can cover up her ears with her hair. But best believe, if she got a busted up teeth or something on her lip, like a big old mole, or an eye messed up or something like that, no.
I don't mind the mole, though.
You don't mind the mole?
I don't mind the mole. I don't mind the mole.
It's getting uncomfortable.
Yeah, that's good phone call. No, we appreciate it. I'm shocked at the feet thing.
Seriously?
Well, you said bad wheels. It's not a car.
But you know, like
it's a woman.
Just a little bit of perspective. I mostly lived in the South, lived in Georgia.
So you saw more wheels.
You saw more feet, and you know that was kind of like
we definitely don't see as much feet.
Sundress season, all that, and you would look at a woman's feet and be like, damn, she got some pretty ass feet. You know what I mean with the whole combination. But you know, up north, you don't really get to see feet that much. So
hidden.
You're shaking the dice.
You're rolling the dice. Yeah.
No, I was telling you, and I know she probably gonna get mad, but she knows she got some big ass feet. My son's mother.
Yeah.
She got some big ass feet, but they weren't always big. Like they got big at the baby. But I was like, damn, if you didn't know it, like she got her feet look like dude feet, like they do.
Yeah, she's gonna be upset.
Keisha, my bad.
Yeah,
she's gonna, you got dude feet.
She's gonna be upset.
She's about to punch me all up in my face.
Yep. The Vaseline's not gonna cover that black eye when you come in here tomorrow. All right, let's go to Tom in Dover because he wants you to stop trashing Bond here.
How am I, Joe? Please, Tom, tell me how I'm trashing Zach Bond. Please.
First of all, what's up, guys? And listen, Hugh, I was the last call that was on. I said, man, he's gonna take up the time, and I ain't gonna be able to get my little piece in, right? But listen to this, Hugh. You had on that green beard at the Wawa for one of the Eagles games. I don't remember when you had your beard painted green.
Yeah.
Okay, so we in the Wawa, guys. Listen, we're in the Wawa, so one of my buddies, he just started flowing with the Eagles thing that's got a season ticket. So he don't know him. So he said, yo, man, look at that big dude over there with that green beard. So I turned around. And I told him, man, that's Hugh Douglas. So I said, what's up, Big Hugh? Yo, man, if y'all could have seen how Hugh looked at me like I was taking his Jordans off his feet. He's going to be up. He ain't speaking nothing.
See, Tom, like, now you're embellishing because I remember
Man, listen.
See, Tom, man, now you're embellishing.
Tom,
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 Tom, I looked at you and I said, what's up? I looked at you, Tom. Let's not listen, Tom. Tom, I remember the day. I do. I remember the day because I parked in the front and I was walking out the Wawa because I bought a soda. And you said that.
We wasn't out the Wawa.
No,
we were in the Wawa.
No, if you let me tell the story, I'll tell you exactly what it was. I paid for my soda. I paid for my soda and I walked out. You said, that's Hugh Douglas. And I said, what's up? And I kept walking.
No, Hugh, it must have been somebody else. Hugh.
No, Tom, you was the only person that spoke because you had on glasses, you know, didn't you? Did you have on glasses?
Yeah, I had glasses.
So, Tom, I spoke to you because you had on glasses.
Listen to this. You know what? I'm going to give you a pass on that.
You ain't got to give me a pass, Tom, because I'm a grown-ass man, and I spoke to you. See, listen, the thing that I do not tolerate, because I don't care what type of look I have on my face, I am always cordial to every fan that ever talks to me. Now, I might not have a whole lot to say, but I have never walked past anybody that has spoke to me and I did not speak. So don't do that.
I think everyone listening believes you. I mean,
Joe, I remember he said, "That's Hugh Douglas," and I said, "What's up, dog?"
Yeah,
and I kept walking.
I can hear you saying it. Yeah, I know you.
So
did.
Don't do that because I'm cordial to each and every Eagles fan that ever speaks to me.
All right, we're going
to
end today with, is Jason a doctor? Is he going to settle this debate?
I think he works in a hospital.
Hospital. Settle the ears debate. Jason, go ahead.
Hey, guys. First time, long time. Awesome talking to you.
Oh, thanks, Jason. What's up?
I'm a tech at one of the hospitals in the Philadelphia area. And for when a doctor orders a face scan, it is from below the chin to above the eyes, from the tip of the nose to the TMJs, your jaw joint. It does not include the ears.
Well, that's pretty good evidence.
Okay, Doc, I believe you.
I'm a tech.
Jason, you're our doctor now.
Yeah, you're the doc. You're the doc now, Doc.
On this show, you're a doctor.
So,
yeah.
Doc, my knee is swollen. What can I do for that?
That's a physical therapist you need for that.
Yeah, I do.
Wrong doc. Jason, you want Bond back?
I do. I think there's something to be said for his instincts. He's always in the right place, and you can't just draft that. That's something you have, and that's just something he is. So. Like, pay him his money. You can get a guy with the same physical gifts as him, but will he be in that same spot? Will he be punching the ball out? Will he be making all those, you know, be in the right spot every time? Like, you can't draft that. That's just what you have.
Yeah, I think it's a good point. Yeah, the instincts and also where he was in his career. And, Jason, we appreciate it. The other thing is if Bond left and they went the draft route, how long would it take that young player to be ready to play at a high level? Like, a lot of people think Trott could be ready next year, mm-hmm. but he didn't play much this year, right?
Yeah.
As a rookie,
But he went to practice every day.
He did. But it's probably going to be his second year he gets to play. You know, if the Eagles are trying to repeat next year, replacing Bond with a rookie, that's a big task. It really is. All right, we're going to hand it over to the afternoon show. They're coming up here. I have a feeling they're going to comment if they think the studio still has some sort of
fishy smell.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's just I know I have a headache now. I don't feel great.
Me too.
Yeah. So
you do?
Yeah, I have a headache. I might have just got one just randomly, but it might also be because we sat in a fish tank for the past 4 hours here. So afternoon show coming up next. I'm sure they'll address that and much more. You guys have a great rest of your day. We'll talk tomorrow on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Peace.